I am very glad to be here, and I appreciate Pastor Rick, and I was supposed to be here for Sunday school, but he gave me permission to show up late so that I can get here, you know, take it a little bit easier getting here, so I appreciate that, and just thank you for your invitation and the privilege of sharing in your church and giving me this opportunity to do so. Before we do anything, I have a video that we want to show, and you guys can go with that first video. Thank you.
As early as I can remember, I knew that God had called me to be a missionary. I just loved missions as a child. I don't know that I thought of it in those terms that I was called, but I just had this assurance that when I grew up, I was going to be a missionary. Really, my call has been more of a progression, more of a desire that God planted in my heart as a child. And there was just something special that God had placed in my heart for the nation of Mexico. The love that he had for them, I began to just feel that in my heart and just really loved the culture, the people, and just what God was doing in people's lives in Mexico. All my life, this is what God has been preparing for me. I can't see myself doing any other thing.
Cuando Dios me llamó, fue específicamente en un programa de discipulado que él abrió las puertas para que yo asistiera. Fue durante mi tiempo de oración que yo estaba, sentí en mi espíritu que Jesús me preguntaba, ¿estás dispuesta a servirme? Yo batallé al principio porque no sabía, no me imaginaba cómo podía ser posible. Yo sabía que era Jesús preguntándome, ¿estás dispuesta a servirme? Yo en fe respondí, sí, Señor, estoy dispuesta. Y a partir de ahí, Él encaminó mis pasos y para llegar a donde estoy ahora. Y yo creo que estoy hoy sirviendo en obediencia en lo que Él me ha llamado.
Well, I want to introduce to you my family, even though they're not here. We do have a picture of them. My wife, Carolina, and I, we have three kids. Two of them are pictured. Kaylee is our 7-year-old daughter, and then Noah is 4. And then on that next slide, we had a newborn. Daniel was born in November, and so he's now just 3 months and sleeping a little bit better. So that's good. But so this is my family, and they stuck around in Superior this morning and going to church there with Grandma and Grandpa and their cousins. And so they've enjoyed being back. We've been back since March of last year, 2019, and we're just about to head back next month. And so we're very thankful for the support of churches and families, individuals, people who have joined us in partnering with us so that we can go back and serve in Mexico. Our first term, we were in Mexico City and working specifically with a church planting initiative. We help facilitate church planting training. We worked alongside another missionary family, but in partnership with the Mexican Assemblies of God. This project or this initiative was started by the missionaries we were working with in Mexico City a few years ago. And the district, their heart was that the district there in Mexico City would be a part of this. And over time, eventually, they decided, yes, we want to be a part of it. They had some change in leadership that had a heart to see churches planted because they haven't seen new churches planted in this area for many, many, many years. And so God was reviving this vision in leaders' hearts there, recognizing that if we're going to reach more people with the gospel, then we need to train more people. And to plant churches where we don't have churches. And so this initiative started. It's a 12-month where a module is taught every single month. Students come. The students are lay people right out of the church that pastors identify as leaders and as potential church planters. And so they come to one of the 8 locations that we facilitated and provided church planting training. And so some of us missionaries, we do some of the training, as well as district leaders there, the Mexican leadership. So it's a partnership. And last year, the last cycle that just finished, over 100 workers completed the training, and 17 new churches were planted. And that's where you see here is a celebration service where we recognize the new church plants and those that finished or completed the training. But the thing we celebrated most was the new believers of these newly planted churches. And the highlight of this celebration service was when they water baptized the new believers of these churches. And because we wanted to make a statement that this is why we're training workers and why we're planting more churches is to reach more people. And so I think it was just a wonderful testimony of the fruit of the ministry and what's happening through this. And just the fact that these new believers that not only are choosing to follow Jesus, but also making a public confession by being water baptized, are now being discipled in these new churches that didn't exist just 12 months ago. And so that's what's really exciting, is people are being reached with the gospel. And it's exciting to see how God is reviving this vision, this passion in our Mexican pastors, and specifically in Mexico City, the district leaders, and something that hasn't been done for almost 20 years, planting new churches, is now happening. And it's just a great thing to see. We also helped plant a church with one of the Mexican brothers that went through the training, and you can go to that next slide there. And this is at that church, and Pastor Gilberto is the guy in the pink shirt in the front there, and we kind of traded off preaching, and this was my turn, so I am preaching, doing my very best in Spanish, but it's Gustavo, he understands, right, what it's like to be learning that another language. And over time and practice, it comes, but it's there's still a lot of practicing that needs to happen. But in this new little church, we helped plant this church. And for the time that we were there, while Gilberto was going through the training, and now him and his family, they lead that church in this community that didn't have a church at all. And it's going really well. They're doing a great job. As I said, we're going back here next month. We have just a little bit more that we need to raise, but our goal is to be there March, middle of March. And going back, though, to a different part of Mexico, we're going to central Mexico, an area that's been referred to as the last frontier of Mexico. It's an area that have churches, but so few churches. Central Mexico, there's about a population of 22 million people in that area. 2.5% evangelical. Imagine that. 2.5% evangelical just south of our border in central Mexico. And I've come to realize that in our churches, we often think of Mexico as a reached nation. When in fact, Mexico is one of the few nations in Latin America that haven't yet experienced a revival that we see in many countries in Latin America. It's this part of the area. We had been praying, God, where do you want us long term in Mexico? And God just began to lead us to this area. And we began to learn about it. And we didn't realize how little work has happened. Like I said, there are churches, but many discouraged pastors among our Assemblies of God churches, discouraged. But God is raising up a number of pastors and even the district leaders now. Again, new leadership has been elected over the last couple years, and they really have a passion and a heart to reach people and to disciple people. And they want to also get something going similar to what we were doing in Mexico City in training church planters. And so we'll be able to come alongside them and help them in that, but with the goal of really just partnering with them so that they will be the ones really taking it over and doing the training and letting it be kind of reproducing each and every year as they train workers. We are working, or going to be working and living in the city of Aguascalientes. Aguascalientes is right in the heart of Mexico, geographically at the center of the country. It's a tiny little state, and we live in the state is by the same name, but we live in the city of Aguascalientes. And our goal is to, again, like I said, work alongside the church planting, or work alongside the district in training church planters, but also to plant a new church in Aguascalientes. Aguascalientes is a city of about 1 million people with fewer than 30 evangelical churches. 1 million people with fewer than 30 evangelical churches. San Francisco, California, just to compare something, has a similar population, and San Francisco has been considered here in America as the least church city in America. And that probably doesn't surprise anybody. They have 300 churches, and so 10 times more churches than Aguascalientes. And I just share that just to bring some perspective to how few churches there really are in Aguascalientes. As you know, San Francisco desperately needs a move of God. I've recently heard that the Assemblies of God have not had a successful church plant in San Francisco for more than 25 years. And so just resistant to the gospel in California, in San Francisco. And so we desperately need workers and people to plant churches there and God to break through in a powerful, unprecedented way. But here we are in serving in Aguascalientes, and we're seeing something very similar to just a hard place that haven't been very receptive to the gospel. But God is doing something in, like I said, our district leaders there, and even within our pastors, of this renewed vision of training workers so that we can plant new churches all across this this district, but even beyond in this region that's been referred to as the last frontier of Mexico. I want to, as I kind of just finish up this part, I have one more video that I want to share that is right from the city of Aguascalientes. Aguascalientes is a city in central Mexico. It's known as el lugar de gente buena, or the place of good people. The people here are genuinely kind and friendly. It's a beautiful city with many modern advancements here in Mexico. But the spiritual need is so great, as this area is considered one of the least evangelized in Latin America. Aguascalientes has almost 1 million people with only 20 evangelical churches. But God has led us here to work alongside the Mexican Assemblies of God to prepare church planters, and with His help, to plant a new church right here in the city. We see this as a strategic church plant, one that will reproduce many more churches in the future. A church that will prepare, equip, and send out workers into the Lord's harvest fields, not only here in Mexico, but to the ends of the earth as well. We're looking for individuals who sincerely love Mexico, who desire to build friendships with the people, who are willing to serve in order to see new communities of faith established. We're looking for worship leaders, children's ministry workers, and people with a heart to reach out onto the university campus. And through small groups, explore the questions of life and study the Bible together. Eventually, as a team, we would like to launch a weekly service to begin meeting publicly. You know, our prayer has been that God would give us a burden for a specific place where we could give years of our lives to, a place in need of workers. And so here we are in Aguascalientes, and we invite you to come and work with us. Well, I always like to give that invitation that you're invited to work with us. And I know that God is, he's continually calling missionaries out of our churches. And if God has called you to serve in missions, to serve long-term in missions, or even short-term, a year or two, and you want to come and work with us specifically in some of these areas that I referred to in the video, you are welcome. And I'd love to have that conversation with you. And if you're here and you're saying, you know what, I know I'm not called to serve cross-culturally, then would you pray with us that God would put together a team that of not only just missionaries, but also national people, believers that maybe we'll run into there in the city that would come and work with us to plant this new church. You know, as we read in the Gospels, Jesus, he did two primary things. He was going and he was sending. He his mission was to seek and to save the lost, and he was actively going and seeking to share his kingdom, to share the secrets of his kingdom, and to heal people and to have compassion. And he was actively with people, seeking people, going. But he also sent out the 12. He sent out the 72. He was sending. And as followers of Jesus, we will either go or we will send. And maybe I would say that we are going and sending. That's what we do as followers of Jesus. If we're following Jesus and that's what Jesus is doing, he's going and he's sending, then it would be just normal for us to do the same as Jesus. Oswald J. Smith was a man who wanted to be a missionary. And this was many, many years ago. But every time he was on the mission field, he'd get very sick. And he'd go to remote areas and get very, very ill. And eventually, on one of his times back, he went to the doctors, and the doctors discovered that he had a problem with his immune system, and that if he continued to go, he would eventually die. And so Oswald J. Smith, he gave up. He surrendered this dream, this desire to be a missionary, to serve cross-culturally. And he took a church called People's Church in Toronto, Canada. And it was a dying church, a church that was in deep financial trouble. And the very first message he preached was on missions, on global missions. And then he invited the church back and for that evening, and he preached again on missions. And week after week, he preached on missions until his church became a missions-hearted church, where they begin to really understand God's heart and his love for the world. And eventually, the church began to grow, and they got out of debt. And after many years, the church grew to thousands of people, and millions of dollars have been given to missions out of that church, and became a church that many other churches in North America look to. Why is this church so blessed? So they became I don't want to say a model, but maybe something that churches look to say, why is this church so blessed? But Oswald J. Smith, he had a missionary heart, and one of the things he preached with conviction was this that I have on the screen. Any church not involved in the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. You know, the church has a mission. We read of it in Matthew chapter 28 and Acts 1 and Mark chapter 16, where that we refer to as the Great Commission. Jesus commissioned at that time the 11 disciples that were there on top of the mountain before Jesus ascended into heaven, and Jesus commanded them to go and make disciples. But he promised that he'd always be with them, but he said, you need to wait for the Holy Spirit. Go back to Jerusalem, wait for the Holy Spirit to empower you to be witnesses. But of course, Jesus ascends into heaven, and they're all staring up into heaven trying to figure out, now what do we do? And two angels had to come and tell him, why are you looking up into the sky? You know, go and do what Jesus told you to do. Go to Jerusalem. So they go to Jerusalem. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit empowers them, fills them, and empowers them to be witnesses. And the church is birthed. The church was birthed to carry out the mission. And sometimes we get it backwards, where we have a church, and then we decide, now what do? When in fact, we have a mission. Jesus gave us a mission, and he birthed the church, the Holy Spirit birthed the church, to carry out that mission. We all share the same responsibility of carrying out this mission. It's not just the mission of a few or for missionaries or those who have money to support missionaries. It is for all of us. It's a shared responsibility. But before we can have God's heart for the world, we need to have a heart for the Lord. And I really believe that our journey to be great at the Great Commission begins at being great at the Great Commandment. One of them, it says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 through 38, one of them who was a lawyer tested Jesus by asking him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." I believe to have God's heart for the nations, we must first have a heart that is surrendered to the Lord. Because God's heart breaks for the lost. And you know, here in America, or it doesn't matter where you're from, we can lose perspective that God's heart is for the world. That God is not an American, he's not a Mexican. But no matter where you're from, if you're from Mexico, it's easy to get focused on what's happening in Mexico. And in America, it's easy for us to just focus on what's happening here. But God's heart is for the world. And when we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the things that break God's heart will break our heart as well. And I really believe that our Great Commission, our journey at being great at the Great Commission begins at being great at the Great Commandment. Our heart will beat for the things that beat God's heart. Like what God's heart beats for. And we will love the things that God loves. And our priorities will begin to shift. And I just love the verse in Psalms where, you know, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will grant you the desires of your heart." I really believe that means that God, when we seek first his kingdom, when we love God, when we delight ourselves in him, that he places desires in our hearts that align with his desires. Our desires become his desires. Or I should say, his desires become our desires. The more we love God, the more we follow the Lord, our desires align with his. And we begin to care deeply about the things he cares about. Our journey in the Great Commission begins with the Great Commandment. But this responsibility that we share, there you hear missionaries often talk about three things: pray, give, and go. And it's almost become cliche in our churches, but it would be a cliche other than the fact that it's so true. Three simple things of being actively engaged in the Great Commission, of sharing this responsibility, begins with prayer. And not only that, but to pray for workers. Jesus had one prayer request that we find in Scripture. And it was this out of Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into his harvest." This is a fascinating scripture. One is this. When Jesus shared this and said, "Guys, the harvest is plentiful." My question is, where was the harvest? You know, a harvest is something that you can see, and it's already there. It's in Jesus saying the harvest is is plentiful. But where was the harvest? There was no harvest in that moment. But I believe Jesus was seeing he was making a promise. And he was seeing what was possible, that there would be a harvest if there would be workers that would sow seed. You know, in farming, if you sow seed, you will produce a harvest. Not all the seed produces a harvest, but wherever you scatter seed, it will produce some type of harvest. And Jesus is saying, if workers will go and plant the seed of the gospel, there will be a harvest. Doesn't matter where you plant seed, anywhere in this world, if you plant seed, there will be a harvest. But Jesus is asking us as his followers to pray that workers would go. He doesn't ask that we pray for a harvest. He's asking that workers would be willing to go to sow seed. And then there will be a harvest. We need more missionaries today who will go. And so we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out workers into his harvest fields. In the Assemblies of God, there's a prayer movement happening, and it really comes out of the Chi Alpha ministry, the ministry on university campuses. And they're asking their students who are in Chi Alpha to pray at 10:02 every single day, that they would set their alarm on their phone, 10:02. And this same verse that I read to you out of Matthew is also found in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. And so at 10:02, they're asking people to set your alarm and for 1 minute to pray for workers. And imagine they're trying to get 1 million people in our movement here in the United States that would pray for workers for 1 minute. Imagine 1 million minutes a day going to pray for workers. And I know our fellowship has been birthed to be a missionary movement, and God is reviving. And even the last few missionary classes that have come through the national office have been their largest classes. God is answering the prayer of sending out workers. And we're believing that there'll be a greater harvest in the years to come than we've seen so far within the Assemblies of God. So we pray for workers. Next is we pray for nations. You know, when I was 13 years old, God began to place this desire and this love in my heart for Mexico. And I've been to maybe a dozen other countries, but there's always something very special about Mexico that I couldn't ignore. And I knew God had called me to be a missionary. And it was always kind of like, where, Lord, do you want me? And over the years, I began to realize he gave me something special in my heart for Mexico that he hasn't given to everybody. And so I realized maybe perhaps God has called me to Mexico. And maybe God has placed a nation on your heart and that you would pray for that nation. Maybe he hasn't called you to go and serve in that nation. But if there's a nation that God has placed a special, maybe a special love or interest in your heart for, then would you pray for that country? Would you pray for outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Would you pray for the workers that have moved to go there to work? Would you pray for the political leaders and the national church that God would bring unity and that they would work together to see a great harvest in that nation? So we pray for workers, we pray for the nations. But another area that we share this responsibility is to give so missionaries can go. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul, he writes to the church in Philippi about the giving that they had done, the giving that they gave toward the work Paul was doing. And this is such an incredible verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Paul writes, "Even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessity." I like that. That it was like it was a reoccurring gift, you know. It's like what we do with missionaries. We make monthly commitments, I like this as a missionary. It's a reoccurring gift. You sent aid once and again for my necessity. But Paul says, not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that accumulates to your account. So, you know, there are many reasons why we give. Different motivating factors. Sometimes we give out of guilt. We're guilted into giving, and guilt is really a powerful motivator. And so we give out of guilt. Others give because they want to be obedient. And that's much better reason to give, is just simply wanting to be obedient to what Scripture teaches. I want to be obedient to what God has told me to do in regards to giving, and so I give. We sometimes give out of need, and this we see here, this is the reason the church there in Philippi was giving. They saw Paul had a need, and so they gave. And that's okay, you know, sometimes that's a very good thing to give to help a need. There are so many needs out there that we can't possibly give to every need, and so we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what we should give to. But there's a different motivation in this verse that Paul is trying to communicate to the church in Philippi. In a sense, he's thanking them for their giving, recognizing their giving, for giving to meet a need that he had. But Paul says, it's not that I desired you to give me a gift. What I desire is that the fruit of the ministry is accumulated to your account. You know, sometimes when we give to missions, we sometimes feel separated from the ministry. We give so the missionary can go, and the missionary is there, and he comes back or she comes back and shares about the fruit of the ministry, and it's like, wow, look what God has done through the work of that ministry or that missionary. But the fact is, in what Paul is saying, that if you give, the same fruit that the missionary is talking about has also been accumulated to your account. That's a powerful motivation for giving. That when I give, I'm not just giving to meet the needs of the church, the local church I attend, but I help facilitate ministry. And when somebody's life is changed and God is transforming someone's life, I share in the fruit of the ministry. I don't know how God's economy works, but here Paul is suggesting that there is fruit that is being accumulated to your account when you give. And so when you don't give, you're the one missing out. Because when you don't give, there cannot be fruit being accumulated to your account. It seems to me that God recognizes that this is a partnership, that we partner with him, but also that as missionaries go, or when you tithe to your local church, it's a team effort. It's the responsibility of the church. It's not the responsibility of a few who have more money than others. You know, God had it obviously figured out better than the government does, that a flat tax seems to make more sense. You know, we all contribute the same. We're all making the same amount of sacrifice when we tithe to the church, and then we give beyond that. We are generous when God has blessed us. We are generous to support other works of ministry. Give and participate with what God is doing here in your local church. If you don't tithe, today's a great day to begin tithing. I know they took the offering, but I'm sure Pastor wouldn't mind, or one of the ushers, to receive your tithe today if you haven't given your tithe. Today's a great day to begin tithing. Support the ministry of the church. Participate in ministry through your giving. And be a part of the fruit that this church and this ministry is seeing. Lastly, we can participate. There's probably many other ways we can participate in the Great Commission, but the last one I want to share is that you can go as a missionary. You know, I believe that God has called everyone to go and make disciples. That is clear. Wherever we are, wherever we live, our responsibility as the Church of Jesus Christ is to go and make disciples. And so we get involved in a local church to be a part of that and to equip us to go out and go and make disciples. But I also believe that God does not call everyone to be a missionary to work cross-culturally. It's a calling, and it's not a special calling or any more special than any other calling God gives to the church and the people in the church, but it's a calling that's different. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we read of Abraham's call. And Abraham, God called Abraham to go from your country, he says, your family, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I love how there is a going from and there's a going to. God called Abraham to go from where he was and what was familiar to go somewhere else that he was not even sure where he was going. But he went. And in the same way, God calls some of us to go from what's familiar and the culture we grew up in, the language we speak, and the customs we understand, to go and cross cultures, to learn all of that and to work with believers in that nation and to do the work of the ministry. The missionary call includes a going from and a going to. In Abraham's life, when we read scripture, Abraham was only going off of what God was telling him, but we read scripture and we recognize that God had a different plan and a different purpose for Abraham, for his people. And God made promise to Abraham. His descendants would be many and there would be a chosen people. But with Abraham, God had a different plan and a different purpose for Abraham that was not for where he was, it was for where God was calling him to. And in the same way, the missionary has a different plan, and God has a different plan and a different purpose that is not for where they are, it's for where God is calling them to. Their plan, God's plan and purpose for the missionary is to be accomplished somewhere else. And really the same can be true for all of us. That God is kind of really the walk of the following Jesus. There's always a calling from what's familiar to calling us to what's unfamiliar. Asking us to walk by faith. And perhaps God is wanting to take you from where you are today to take a step of faith so that you can go and to where he's calling you to. And maybe that calling is in your finances where you need to take a step of faith and say, I don't know how I can tithe. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit in my budget. But I'm going to take a step of faith because I know that's what God is calling me to do. I have found that whenever you talk about money or tithing, it's always uncomfortable for the person that isn't yet tithing. For those who have taken it and have obeyed, the topic of money doesn't bother them. It's like baptism, water baptism is something very similar. Until you are water baptized, whenever the pastor says, we're having a water baptism, if you want to be water baptized, sign up and it's always uncomfortable to hear about water baptism until you are water baptized. And I believe that's the same in so many different things in our journey, our faith journey with the Lord, that until we take steps of faith, it's always uncomfortable to take that step of faith. And we don't understand. Abraham had no clue where God was leading him to. He didn't have any understanding, but he was willing to lay his understanding aside and be obedient. And how many times have you taken steps of faith in your life that you can look back on and you didn't understand why God was asking you to do it, but you knew you had to make a certain decision, and over time, understanding became much more clear. Oh, that's why God was asking me to do that. The key to the Christian life is obedience. And as we step out in obedience, we get to see God do things in us, through us, that brings him glory, and it increases our faith. And so I don't know what God is asking you to do. It may be in your finances. It may be in serving in the kids' ministry, where you say, you know what, I've been comfortable, but I realize that I need to take a step of faith and get involved in ministry here in my local church. And I'm going to take the step of faith and serving in kids' ministry. Maybe it's in attending the Bible study or the Wednesday activities. Where is God leading you? What is he asking you to do? Maybe it's a step of faith where you work, or it's a step of faith in your family. Let's be obedient to what God has called each one of us to do, so that he can take us from where we are to where he wants to take us. But then once you get here, then it's going to be the same thing. God's going to say, hey, I want you to, this is what I'm asking you to do now, and I need to take, you need to go from where you are to where I'm calling you to, so that your faith can increase, that you'll depend on me a little bit more, and you don't understand why I'm asking you to do this, but eventually you'll understand. And but we want understanding to come first, and then we want to be obedient. But it doesn't often work that way. God wants us to walk by faith. You know, we are the church of Jesus Christ. And when Oswald J. Smith said, you know, any church not involved in the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. We can look at that in the corporate church or the church we attend and say, are we doing that? But I would challenge you to say with this, that if you belong to Jesus, you are the church. And I'm the church, and we are the church. We're the body of Christ. And if we are not participating in this Great Commission calling that Christ has given the church, us, can we call ourselves followers of Jesus? And I know it's your desire to follow Jesus. And following Jesus requires obedience. And so I just ask that as you listen today and as you consider what's been shared, that you'd say, you know what? What area in my life do I need to take a step of faith in, so that God can be glorified and my faith can grow and my dependence on the Lord can increase? And I believe that God will reveal, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what that is if you sincerely ask him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this responsibility that you have given to us, that you have chosen to use us to partner, for us to partner with you. And Lord, really, anything we do is, it's just actions or just words unless it's empowered and anointed by your Spirit. And we know your desire is for all people to know you, that none should perish. Lord, I pray that our heart would beat for the things that beat your that your heart beats for, that our heart for the lost would increase. Lord, that we would be first and foremost great at loving you and serving you and following you and being obedient to your word and the voice of your Spirit. I truly believe as we do that, Lord, our heart for the world would also increase. Our vision for the world would increase, and it would have a direct impact in our own community as well, in our own relationships with people we rub shoulders with every single day. Lord, I pray that you would give us a nation that we can pray for, that we can intercede over, and we may never see the results on this side of eternity, but Lord, we know that you have called us to pray for workers, to pray for the nations, and to pray that people everywhere, every tribe, tongue, and nation can be represented at the throne of God. I ask that we would participate in the Great Commission through our resources that you have given us, that we'd be obedient and return what you have given us to our local church, and to be generous beyond that so that we can support missions and participate and share in the fruit of the ministry that's happening in our community, in our local church, and around the world. And I pray, Lord, that for those who may be in here, and maybe it's one, maybe it's a family, maybe you've placed a missionary call in their life, I pray, God, that you confirm that call to confirm that in their heart, confirm it with the people that know and love them, and Lord, they would take a step of obedience as well. Lord, I just pray for a special blessing upon this church, that the preaching would be anointed, that the vision would go forth clear. Pray for Pastor Rick and his family, God, that you would guard them and keep them, And God, I pray that you would just renew a passion within them, a love for this community and their church. And God, that you would use them to speak every single week into the lives of this church. And Lord, as I look out, I notice, Lord, a number of older people, gray heads, who would say, you know, I would love to go, but I'm beyond that age, or I have this passion to go, but I know I can't. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that they would find a place of ministry that would speak life into maybe a young person here who you have called to serve in missions. They would find a place of ministry that would impact many, many lives through the ministry of this church, I pray. Lord, we give you glory, and we know that you are in control. Beyond the chaos that we see in our world, Lord, you are in control. Nothing surprises you, and we thank you that your kingdom is expanding throughout this world, and people are coming to know Jesus and are walking and learning to follow Jesus. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Sean. Here's what I'd like us to do today. We're a smaller group here today, smaller in number. And I think I'm going to have the ushers come and place the offering plates on the communion table here at the altar. And I'm going to ask our brother Sean to come, and I would like us to gather around him and pray. And we're going to accomplish three things that he mentioned this morning. First of all, we'll just lay our gifts on the offering plates at the altar. We're bringing our gift to the Lord, first of all. We're showing him that we love him above all else. We love his work. The second thing that we're going to be doing that way is what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights about storing up eternal rewards. Remember, if we support a minister of the gospel, we get to share in that reward in heaven. We share in the fruit, that's what you were talking about. I think part of that is here on earth, but it's also a heavenly reward that we await. And the third thing we accomplish is we get to pray for the missionary. And there may be more things than that. So please join us. Sean, would you come? Let's gather around him in a circle. Guys, ushers, if you'd put the offering plates up here, you can give before you pray, after you pray. I don't care. If you don't have anything to give, please, would you still come? And let's surround our brother in prayer today. Let's pray for a safe trip home for him. Pray for the rest of their budget to be raised. And whatever else God lays on your heart, this is a time for us to be able to minister to him this morning. And I think that missionaries are sent, and he's representing us, so I would like us to pray for him as part of that sending process. So if you'd lay hands on him and just gather in a circle, and then whoever wants to pray, please feel free to pray this morning.
Lord, I thank you that you are still calling people into the ministry. You're still calling missionaries to leave that which is familiar to them and walk in unknown territory. Lord, I thank you for the call upon Sean and his family and the direction that you have given them. Lord, it's not an easy journey that they are taking, but yet, Lord, we know that you go with them. And beyond that, we know that you've already gone the way and made preparations so that when they get there, things have been set in place by you. Lord, I pray that you would just anoint them with your Holy Spirit, that your power would rest upon them and their ministry, that there would be much fruit. Lord, because you've ordained him to bring forth fruit, and that fruit would remain. So I pray, Lord, that there would be the addition of many souls to your kingdom. many people would be brought into the Church of Jesus Christ because of the ministry that goes forth from their families' lives. I pray, Lord, that people would be baptized in the Holy Spirit because they have been obedient to you and gone into this area. I pray, Lord, that as a result of their ministry, the fruit, that there would be pastors and teachers, and there would be even missionaries that would be sent out because of their work. Lord, bless them. I know that whoever you call, you enable them to do the work that you have called them to do. Oh, Lord, fulfill their vision and keep deepening that vision, Lord, year by year, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus.
takes a little faith. Let it start right here in this city, so these old walls will never be the same. Over and over again, I hear your voice in my